Laguna Niguel, Laguna Beach.
Member supported.
KXFM
on 104.7.
KXFMradio.org.
This disclaimer is a statement notifying listening audiences that any opinions expressed on our shows are not representative of Laguna Radio, Inc., its management, or its board of directors.
I am not in love, but I'm open to persuasion. East or west, where's the best for romancing? With a friend, I can smile, but with a lover, I could hold my head back.
once more with the feeling. Give me love. We'll be right back.
All righty. Top of the morning to you. This is KXFM on 104.7. You are listening to the Importance of Being show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. And I am excited and happy and elated to have Alyssa Hayek.
Yep, you said it right.
Well, you know, there's that other lady who uses that name.
And it's slightly pronounced different.
Pronounce it wrong.
Yeah, I know. She says it totally wrong, guys. Not related in any way either.
Or you'd have told her, fix it.
Yeah, been like, yo, cuz, come on, fix that.
So, Alyssa is our music director. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I wouldn't call you our mommy, but
I mean,
you make the rules up in here.
I try not to be the mom, but you know, sometimes you need that. Keep it together.
Keep the family unit to go together.
When the one child strays away. No, come back. Yeah. That's kind of what I do.
So, You're not new to radio, but you're certainly new to Southern California.
Yeah.
And you came here for this?
Yeah, I came here for this.
So let's go back to the origin story. How did you decide that you want to be in radio?
Oh, okay.
As a career, because everyone says, you know, oh, there's no money in radio. And it's all going to be machines. Mm-hmm. Why would someone young and ambitious like you
choose radio? I don't know. I was crazy. No.
A moment of madness.
Yes. So I was actually looking at colleges, and I was planning to go to school for journalism.
Okay.
And I was looking all over the East Coast, up and down, from all the way up in like Massachusetts down to Florida.
And you started your search from New Jersey, right?
Yeah, from New Jersey. So I was looking at schools, and my mom kept telling me, go look at the school right down the street. That's like, you know, it's a university, Monmouth University. It's very well known. They do all the polling. Everybody knows it for their polling. So I ended up going and looking at the school after her going, look at it. And I was like, no, I want to go far away.
Right. The big shiny ones.
I just want to go away.
Look at that one.
And when I went there, I since I was little, I always would sit in my room. I had a double cassette player, and I'd put my two cassettes in, and I'd make my tapes from all the music. And I always, I had my cassette. Oh, yeah. I have tons of mixtapes. I still have them. Yeah. Because then I moved up to CDs when I got to that point. Yeah.
Right.
So, and then finally, my mom was sick of me carrying my huge CD case and CD player. And like when the iPod first came out, like that giant brick bought me one because I had so much music, but I'd carry, you know, that 500 CD
book. You want to have it with you.
Yeah.
You know, just
at all
in case,
times,
right?
All times.
You never know when it's going to be some kind of Tears for Fears emergency.
Exactly. So she bought me that. And I just always loved music. I would sit in Barnes & Noble. I'd read Spin Magazine, Rolling Stone. I used to love the Spin top 10 coming out, up and coming, that you never knew.
Oh, okay.
And I would sit and then I would go on New Music Tuesdays. This is how crazy I was back then. New Music Tuesdays, I'd go to Barnes & Noble. First thing, I'd be there right after school, you know, because at that point I was like super stoked I could drive. So that was like the one place I ever drove to was Barnes & Noble, and then right across the street to Best Buy. And I'd go in and I'd find the CDs that were in Spin Magazine and started my music discovery that way.
Okay.
And so, needless to say, I always loved Spin and Rolling Stone and was like, I want to write for one of them one day.
Oh.
So that was how I got in the idea of journalism.
Okay. All right.
Then I go to Monmouth.
I mean, it's just so, you know, clearly point straight shot meandering.
No, like I'm not musically inclined, but I come from a musical family.
Okay.
And I just, my whole life grew up around music.
Oh,
I did.
Yeah.
So for me, it was always my escape. I loved it. I, you know, I'm one of those people that just, it didn't matter what it was.
It's comfort food for you.
Yeah, it is. Anything. It can make everything better. So, I was going to do journalism, went and walked through Monmouth University, took the tour, was so angry at my mom for taking me there. And yes, we're going through
resistance.
Yeah, and they brought us to the the Plangier Hall, which was for communication. Okay. And we get inside and they're showing us the TV studio. And I'm like, oh, heck no, that's not happening. I turn red in front of the camera. I am not good. It's not pretty. But then they tell us that they have a radio and TV major. And I was like, wait, you could do radio? And then they bring up upstairs and the whole upstairs floor was a full radio station.
You were genetically predisposed to be radio?
It was like, duh. I literally, a light bulb went off and I was like, I could do this as a career? Holy crap. You know? So I walked in and it was just, it felt like home. And I knew it was right. So wow. I made the choice right then and there. And even after every single class, all my professors saying, you're never going to make money in this. You're never going to make money in this.
I mean, that's the prevailing wisdom.
Yeah.
It's something you do in college, at the college radio station, and then, you know, you grow up.
Yeah. No, it didn't matter. So my freshman year, I was so nervous because you have to keep in mind, back then, I was extremely shy. I'm not who I am now. I know, you can't believe that, right?
You're not the person that I see all the other times. Mm-hmm. This, I don't know who this person is.
This person is not bogged down by work and has work hat on right now, okay? You got me first thing in the morning drinking my coffee.
Full
We're all
strength.
Okay. We're good. We're good. I'm not worn down yet.
give me some time,
Give
folks.
Me some time, and then it'll be a little bit different. I had my very first radio show my freshman year. I remember my first shift, I cried afterwards. I was so nervous.
Oh, okay. But afterwards.
Afterwards, I somehow made it through it. And then I said, I'm never doing it again. But I went over to the music director's office and they gave me a stack of CDs and I would sit and listen to the CDs like pick the songs, right? Okay. So that was my first year. I went to all the meetings, I picked songs, all that kind
picker.
Of stuff.
That's
yeah.
Like,
yeah. But, I mean, it makes sense. That's what I'm doing now. So after that, my sophomore year, I got a little more confident and comfortable. And okay. I ended up, by my senior year, I had 7 different shows that I did with different hosts. I had all different co-hosts, from talk shows to music shows to we did everything. I even did segments on food. I love that, by the way. I will always do segments on food. So it was really cool. And I ended up becoming the promotion director for 2 years at the station.
Okay.
I won an award for vocal production. I was nominated by all my professors and won a scholarship for vocal production that I wasn't even aware that I was going to get. I went to the communication banquet. Nope.
Living my dream.
This is a funny story. So my friends still joke with me about this one. So earlier that day, we decided, let's go to the beach before we go to the banquet. Now, if people haven't seen me, I'm like the fairest fair of them all. I'm like Snow White.
Yes.
So I went to the beach. We sat out for probably 5 hours. So you can imagine I was the color of a cherry. But then I also decided, oh, we're going to a banquet. Let me put a dress on. So I found, I don't know what I was thinking. I found the most comfortable of my dresses, which was a cotton pink dress. So the dress matched my sunburn.
Awesome.
So then all my friends were poking me the whole time on my sunburn, making fun of me like, oh, your dress matches you, which they still joke about. And then I got the award from my favorite professor, which was really cool.
Go up to the front.
Yeah. And I was so sunburned. It was awful.
All right. Well, you're listening to the Importance of Being show on KXFM. And my guest this morning is Alyssa Hayek. And we're going to have more from Alyssa because she's all ramped up and revved up right after this. KXFM.
Thank you.
This is KXFM, and you're listening to The Importance of Being Show. Today, my guest is Alyssa Hayek, and she's, what would I say? She's letting it all out.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot to let out, so this could be a few hours, guys. Sit still.
Who knew?
Who knew there was so much to come out of here?
So, when we, in the last segment, we talked about kind of your origin and mm-hmm. you know, how you got into radio, why you decided to do it. And I think we got to maybe your first job.
Yeah. So I interned for a while.
Okay.
At a rock station, WRAT, The Rat.
Yeah.
They offered me an IT job and I was like, no. I don't want to do IT. I'm here to do radio, not the IT part, because then I'll never get to do what I want to do. So I actually, when I graduated college, I took the first job I could find working in insurance. That was so much fun. Let me tell you. So I was doing that for a few years, and I was applying everywhere and anywhere that had an opening in any part of radio whatsoever, okay. whether it was on air, promotions, anything,
right, right.
didn't matter.
Get back to the
just
water.
Get my foot in the door,
right.
kind of thing. And I got a call from Press Communications, and it's a small chain of radio stations in New Jersey. And they were like, hey, are you still interested in doing promotions? I'm like, yes, it's part time. Okay, I'll figure it out.
Right, right.
So I started working two jobs. I worked full time doing, my 9 to 5. And then
oh, okay.
I was doing promotions on nights and weekends.
Okay.
And they started having me do board hopping. Mm. So I would come in early. Yeah, because this is how crazy I was. I would come in at 3 o'clock in the morning board up the morning show bright and early.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the morning show wasn't even in studio. They were out on the beach during the summer, doing their thing out
right.
there. So I had to judge what they were doing, not even with them. And they approached me about coming on full time for promotions at that point.
Oh.
And I was already board hopping and I was like, no, I turned it down. I said, no, I can't. I know that this is where I need to be.
Okay.
In this room.
It just felt like this is just right. That's too soft. That's too hard.
Exactly. Like there's always going to be this part of me that wants to be in here. And okay. If I took that, I knew I couldn't work on air.
Right.
It's one or the other. But if I worked part time I could do both.
Oh, got it. Got it.
So at the time, I literally every morning every Friday that I did that, I would go over to the country station because I was working for the pop station. They were all in the same building. Yeah, so I'd walk across and I'd go, here's my demo. And had a CD. Here's my demo. Had a CD.
Oh.
Every single morning. Until one morning he listened to it. Yeah. I was crazy. It took a whole summer, but I got it.
There's that girl again.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't avoid me. When I get my mind set on something, it happens. And so he was like, all right, Saturday, 10 p.m. I was like, cool. I almost fainted. It was the first time I was on air.
Stay standing.
Yeah, it was the first time I was on air in probably, I don't know, 5 years at that point.
Okay.
I mean, I was still working in it. It was just been a while since I was on air.
Right, right. Yeah, with a mic. With a mic in front of you and the headphones going. I'm in control.
Yeah. So actually, it was about three years since I was really on air. Mm-hmm. And I was on air there part-time for 8 years.
Now, the first time doing it professionally, were you nervous?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I almost fainted. Like I said, yeah.
Oh, I thought that was when he told you to do it.
No, I was like holding on to the desk. Like I had to sit down. I felt my knees locking. I was shaking. I was like, I just did my first break for real. Like, this is crazy. It took a while. It took a while to get back into the swing of it and learn like how they wanted their format to be, because coming from radio out of college, it's, you know,
open world.
You know, you could do, but here it's so structured. They wanted a certain way.
Your advertisers
Exactly. So, and I had to learn how to read the advertisement without sounding like I'm reading the advertisement,
which was
fun. So I started off doing 6 to 10 a.m. on Saturdays and Sundays.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Then I moved to 3 to 7 on Saturdays and Sundays. And then when I was last there, they wanted me full time. But the problem was that at that, you know, company, full timers were going like this. Every month it was new people.
Really?
Yeah. So,
ouch.
on because they were going to move me to one of the other stations, the classic rock station.
And those
stations just flipped so quickly, and they changed their formats, and they just couldn't find a fit where the country station was settled.
Nailed down. Yeah, it was
down. Nobody was leaving. Nobody was moving. And so I kept saying, no, there's no reason for me to move.
Right.
Like, I can't be without a job.
I already have a good paying
full-time job, and I'm working here part-time. There's no way I can't.
Right.
And so I was working before I came here. I was working 7 to midnight Saturdays and Sundays. I was live 7 to 10, voice track 10 to midnight, and I was also filling in nights during the week.
Okay.
So
Yeah. So you're doing as much of it as you can, but you need to eat. So
if you know anything about country radio, too, those people are crazy. So I had followers and fans, and it was as a part-timer.
That kind of crazy.
Yeah. Like, I had to create all new social media, and everybody knows me. I am not socially media inclined. I'm not good at that. And I had to figure it out.
An alter ego.
Yeah. Because it was getting to the point where I was like, no, you can't be on my personal stuff. Like, it was getting that bad. And people,
my friends will know, and then they won't invite me to the party anymore.
Exactly. So, I mean, it was definitely eye-opening and a different experience working in different formats, too, because I had to learn country.
Okay.
And I had to learn what works for country and what doesn't work for country.
And so that was a commercial station.
That was a commercial station.
And so how did they pick their playlists for that kind of operation?
It's different. It's very different. I mean, mainly it's based on what promoters want them to pick. And actually, one of my very good friends that I went to college with is the music director at that station. Okay. So me and him would sit together all the time and he'd be like, look at this. I have to listen to this today. But unfortunately, he had a little more free reign, I have to say, than some other commercial stations. He was allowed to put more music in than other stations allowed. Right. And he literally would hand pick every song and hand schedule it.
Okay.
So the way he worked was a little different than most commercial stations.
Right, because I would think they just go top four. What's the top 40 in this genre?
And maybe we would add still in. Play some throwbacks, you know. Right, so it was a little bit more stretched out than normal, but still confined.
Right.
Very much so, still confined. And we couldn't take requests, which would kill me because especially on country radio, they're always calling and stuff. So they always want to hear what they want to hear. So not being able to take requests, that's kind of.
Yeah. Why be there at all?
Exactly. I mean, you could just that's program the whole point it in. Of it.
Yeah.
So it was different. Not as much fun, I have to say, but a learning experience. And I don't think I'd ever go back.
To country?
Not necessarily.
Or to New Jersey.
No. No, I have to go back to New Jersey. I can't avoid that. No, at commercial radio. Okay. I don't think I could do that because it is. It's very confining. And like I said, especially for full-timers, it's a revolving door. The business has changed so much.
Okay.
And that's what's scary. Most of it's voice track now. People aren't even live.
Right.
And
right,
they
right.
use the same voice tracks for stations all over the U.S. And right. one person's doing it. So it's like... There's few and far jobs.
Right. The whole automated thing and just having it exactly dialed in.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So you're doing that and you're still working in insurance. Mm-hmm. And so California, here I come?
Sort of. So
Calgon take me away.
Probably what was it, 2017, 2018? I don't even know. So my brother moved out here a few years ago. He produces music, he plays in bands, he's all over the place around here. And he ended up moving out here. And so my mom came out here and visited and she was like, ah, you're gonna love it. And I was like, no, I'm never leaving New Jersey.
And he kept signing up for Jersey Shore.
No. I saw that they're bringing that back this Thursday. Please, Lord, no. That is not us. Oh, I have so many Jersey Shore stories for that, too. So, but that's another another
segment.
We'll
have to bring you back for that one.
Yeah. So he convinced me to come out on vacation. So I took my little 1 week vacation that I was able to finagle with two jobs getting off to come out here. But little did he tell me that he set up an interview with a company in town somewhere, not here.
Okay.
Because he wanted me to move out here.
So your family is like that. Weave in little plots.
Oh yeah, they have their when they get their mindset. Yeah, it happens. So we were just out and hanging out, and he's like, "Hey, you know, I know Tommy Benson. He's friends with Tommy, and he's like, I want to bring you by the station. I think you'd like it. It's really cool. You just got to see." I'm like, "All right, cool. You know, I love seeing the stations. So that's funny. Fun to me." So I came over here and met Tommy. And I was like, oh my God, this is so awesome. This is just exactly what I remember my college station being like, you know?
Out of control.
Craziness. Signatures everywhere. CDs hanging from the ceiling. It was epic. So I met Tommy and we were just talking, you know, as we would. And I was like, oh, I got to send you pictures of like my setup in my studio back east when I get back. So I ended up sending him pictures, through Facebook Messenger and was like, hey, here's my station. This is what we've got. And then my brother reached out to me a few weeks later and goes, hey, I need your resume. I'm like, why? He's like, Tommy's asking for it. So send it. I was like, okay.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. This is KXFM. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. And my guest this morning is our music director, Alyssa Hayek. And we'll be back in just a bit to find out if she got the job or if she was able to put together a resume.
Yeah, right.
On KXFM. Right. This is KXFM. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. And today I have Alyssa Hayek. Can't give that away.
No, can't give that away yet. Not yet, even though we've said it like four times in the show already.
So we have the big cliffhanger. Mm. So your brother, you've come out here on vacation. You've met Tommy Benson, our own favorite little Tommy B. And your brother asked you for a resume.
Yeah. So he asked me for a resume. And so I sent it to Tommy. And then Tommy said, send it to Tyler. And I was like, who's Tyler?
Right.
So I sent my resume over to Tyler. And he was like, hey, so I want to have a conversation with you. I was like, okay, cool. So we figured out a time that worked in the 3 hour time zone difference, which is, you know, always fun and difficult.
And you're working 7 days a week.
I'm working 7 days a week, nights and weekends as well. So yeah, that's fun. But I did find a time. And so I had an amazing phone conversation.
Okay.
You know, he started talking about, you know, the passion of radio and how he worked in commercial radio and how he just didn't love it.
Okay.
Like, you know, he missed doing what he did at school and having the freedom and, and I said to him, I was like, you know, I put this idea of working full time in radio, like on the back burner.
Right.
I said, I always loved radio. I have, but watching, especially in commercial radio, people, just the revolving door of employees go through, it kind of like,
and just
killed it.
Yeah. Where did they go? I mean, do they end up in other places or
they just fire
out?
Them? Yeah. So either they'll move them if they want to, but if their ratings aren't good, they just cut them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
So it
got
really
it.
Was a revolving
door. So you have to
door.
Be like,
yeah. And on the East Coast, it's also difficult because, you know, you have New York and Philly. And then where the market I was working in is the 50th market in the U.S., which is pretty good.
Yeah.
So everywhere around me, surrounding my little bubble that I lived in, I had, you know, lifers,
as we
call them.
Right.
So, like, there's people that just aren't leaving.
Right. Yeah.
So
the
jobs are few and far between. And then you're fighting people who have so many more years experience than you.
Right. Yes.
Whether or not they're the best fit for the job, they've just done it and they know everybody.
Right.
So it's like, it's cutthroat. And, so we were talking about that and I said, you know, you kind of sparked that passion again. The idea that I could have my dream job picking music, being on in the afternoons and like not working weekends. You're like, you're making me happy and we haven't even done anything further yet. And so we were talking about that and it was kind of, we could just tell that we had the same goals and ideas.
Right, the fit.
Like we could just in the one conversation, I was like, I know this is right for me. I hope he feels the same way. That was what was going through my mind.
Aww.
And so at the end of the conversation, he asked me to put a couple playlists together and email them over to him.
Okay.
So I did that. And then we would just went back and forth via email. He asked me where I found these songs. This song's a great selection. How'd you even find that? Like all these things.
Right.
And like, so I went through my process because I still sit with Spin Magazine with the coffee at Barnes & Noble some days. Other days I'm scouring the internet. It just depends on how much time I have.
Because that was a question I had about, you know, how do you decide what you want to play and what do you like and all of that. But
yeah, so.
But let's stay on the job part.
Yeah, so stay on the job part. So this was probably at this point a little over a month after I had come out to California.
Okay.
Me and Tyler are talking about this. We're going through it. And he's like, okay, I'll be in touch.
Ooh.
And I was like, okay. So every 2 days I was emailing him like, hey, did you just sign the job yet? Hey, did you just sign the job yet? Because I really want to know, did you sign the job? So it was, I think it was like the middle of October, closer to the end of October, Tyler made the offer. And so I said to him, look, because this is a huge, and I mean a huge pay cut from what I was doing, because I was working two jobs, I was making really good money.
Yep.
I need to decide if this is This is right.
I can make this work.
I can make this work, because I still have to, you have to remember, I'm in New Jersey.
Right.
I got to drive my stuff across the country and find a place and make this work. I did it within a month.
Oh, wait, I was worried it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, no, it happened. I mean, I'm here. Come on now. What do you think? I'm in New Jersey talking to you right now? No, so I did.
Don't put very many things past me. It is plausible.
It is plausible, right? No, so I accepted the job and I packed up my little Jetta.
Yay!
With whatever I could fit into it.
Aww.
All the bare necessities with my puppy and my best friend. And we drove across country in 4 days and moved me out here.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Right before Thanksgiving. Yeah. So, and that was 2018.
And that was kind of an adventure, I bet.
Yeah, it was definitely an adventure. It was really cool. I mean, getting to see all different parts of this country that I've never seen before.
Right.
I totally get why they say Purple Mountains Majesty now. Like, I always wondered that, but now actually getting see that, like, the colors that, nature just makes and tasting all the food. Oh, my God, the food.
And
the Grand Canyon was just, if you've never been there, you have to.
Yeah,
because it's
road trip, so yeah.
Yeah, it's a surreal experience. I mean, I've always wanted to see it, so getting that opportunity was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, so we've talked about the job. You got the job. The cliffhanger is cliffed or hung or whatever. Now music. We had another music director. We've had a number.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can sometimes feel different styles through them and all of that. What do you look for when you're looking for music? I mean, because we get an avalanche.
Oh, yeah. So when I was making my playlist for Tyler, the first thing I did was listen to the station for like 5 days.
Oh, okay.
Straight.
Got it. Yeah.
I listened to every show. I know. This is how crazy I am. I listened to every show. I listened to everything because I wanted to get the feel of the station. I wanted to know what Laguna was like.
Okay.
So when I picked that playlist, I picked what I felt fit.
Right.
What was the vibe? What was the feel? And that's kind of how I keep going. I'm like, when I listen to songs, I'm like, no, that's not us. Like, there's songs I can hear right away, and I'm like, that's an us song.
Okay.
That's exactly what we would play. It's a no-brainer.
Right.
Other things take some time. Like, I have to listen to it a few times or give it a chance. But really, it comes down to what I know people like to hear, because that's essentially it. I'm making a playlist for you to listen to.
Okay.
It's not what I want
to
listen to.
Back to the mixtapes.
Yeah, it's not what I want to listen to, though.
Huh.
So that's what makes it different.
Okay. So you're not playing music for me, for you at all.
No, I'm not playing for me at all. And there's songs I put in that I'm like, I hate this song, but I'm playing it because I know everybody else loves it.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
So I have to take my personal emotions out of it and how I feel about it.
It's almost like playing a character in a play or something.
Yeah, exactly. I have to think like the station and like what the majority of people want to hear, what they would like. What is going to hook them to keep us on this station more than 10 minutes? That's my goal. It really is. So
you want to keep them stuck in their car late for their appointment because
they can't get out.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That was me. That's how I got connected.
Yeah. So that's kind of my goal. Every time I put a playlist together each and every week, I look at it from the big picture. It's not about me.
Okay.
There's no ego behind it that way. It's what is truly a great song that people want to hear.
Okay. And so looking at we get a lot of music submissions from all different directions and different layers of the industry and amateur and everything. What's the difference between, say, like the person who's going top 40, like Keisha or Taylor Swift, because I hear some of these songs and they're awesome, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much great music being done. And I just sometimes I look and I go, why is that so worth so much more than?
So honestly, I think a lot of that part has to do with that side of the industry, has to do with really who you know, how you get found.
Okay.
Personally. But I agree. There's so much music out there that is so good, and it's cross-genre at this point. Genres just are blending and mixing that right. it's to the point where sometimes you just go, really, what is this? Because, you know, they may classify it as alternative, but I'm like, that's my rap, but I can get with that.
It's got a little Barbra Streisand in it, I don't know.
Yeah, so... I mean, I think it's really just luck of the draw for artists in general, like right. having good management or, you know, getting found on YouTube, which is what you hear half the time now.
Right.
It's so different, the industry. And honestly, I feel bad for artists. I really do, because there are so many of them out there and there's a lot of really good ones.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is luck of the draw for them. And I, you know, my heart bleeds, but at the same time, I know it's a cutthroat industry. I know it's a cutthroat industry for what I do, too.
I didn't make it. You picked it.
Yeah. So, I mean, if it works for us, that's why I say it all the time on my show. I tell musicians, send me the music because I want to hear it. So right, I want to give right. you a chance. I'm not worried about where you come from, how many spins you have. If it's a good song, it's a good song. And I'm going to...
Wow.
Do what I can.
Huh. All right. Well, you know what? We're just about out of time.
Yeah.
It's gone by so quickly.
I know.
And it's been so much fun. And I hope that you can come back sometime.
Of course. I'm always around.
Since you did get that job. Thanks for coming.
Of course.
And you've been listening to The Importance of Being Show on KXFM. Coming up next is Steve Reed with the Coast Highway Shuffle. Have a great day, everyone.